from KQED.
Welcome back to Forum. I'm Mina Kim. Dominique Krenn made history as the first female chef in the U.S. to earn 2 Michelin stars for her San Francisco restaurant, Atelier Krenn. Those who've dined there find her menus read like poetry and her meals resemble art. And now, stunning images of her signature dishes can be found in her debut cookbook, Atelier Krenn, Metamorphosis of Taste. Dominique Krenn, welcome to Forum.
Thank you for having me.
So this book is really a work of art, which is not surprising since that's how your food is described. And immediately, the first question that came to mind was how you see the relationship of food and art.
That's a question that a lot of people ask. Well, I think there is. I'm looking at food. It's emotional, you know, and it's also tell a story. And often people there is definitely some people that think that just food should be something that you eat to fill you up and to survive. But it's also for me, food is also the core of the society, and I'm taking this. The different approach where when I cook food, I also celebrate the emotion and the story behind it, and to also basically give people a sense of who I am. And I love art, so I mean, it's like going to a museum and looking at a painting and just like feeling what's the painting means to you. So food is also, and when you eat the food, it's not just art. You can eat it and you can go home and be, you know, happy about it. Your belly, it's happy belly. So,
and this is your first cookbook.
Yes.
What made you want to write a cookbook?
I don't think it was about writing a cookbook. I think it was about continuing the journey of expressing myself and to have something to maybe to give people a sense of maybe who I am and who my team is. And so I think there is you can write a cookbook and it's like, oh, I'm going to write recipe. But I mean, when you go through the book, is also it's really telling a story, and it's also a very reflective book. And I think as a chef, it was very important for me also to do that. You know, we are chef and we are cook and we cooking food, and sometimes we don't really think a lot. But I always say thinking before cooking. And, you know, there is some area in the book where, you know, I used to cook a certain way, then I got very reflective about the way that I was doing things and the ingredient that I was using. So I think it made me a better person, and it's also so much more richer for myself. So.
Yes, you do share your story about your journey to where you are now, from your childhood in France,
yes,
to, you know, going to Indonesia for a time to run a hotel restaurant there.
Yes.
And then what I also loved was that you sketch out a typical day at your restaurant.
Yes.
From the very, or I guess I should say day night, because it's almost a 24-hour.
Without sleeping, there is no sleep.
24-hour operation.
Yes.
And so it is a story. And also I found it interesting that it feels like chefs no longer, including you, feel some kind of proprietary sense of yours. You're not jealously guarding your secret recipes anymore.
Absolutely not, no. I mean, I think you know, anything you do in life, I think it's especially when you get to a place with maybe your knowledge and, you know, I have so much more to learn. It's crazy. I mean, I really have a lot to learn, but you have to share. And sharing also allow you to have maybe a dialogue with other, and perhaps what you share might not be the maybe better than other, but at least, you know, there is a certain dialogue, and it just, I think it's helped also to the community to just, you know, come together and understand the others better, you know. I always preach about diversity, especially in my industry, and it should be diversity all over the world. And often, you know, there is people like, oh, you know, fine dining people and casual, you know, people that do more casual. It's like, I don't understand fine dining people. It's like, no, just we're doing the same thing. We have the same, you know, we have the same journey. We have the same message. We're just doing in a different way. But I think sharing is one of the key of the world and understanding each other. And I think it would be a better world if people would be allowing, you know, people to just pick up what they think, you know, so.
And peek into how your mind works.
Yes, I think so. You know, I think, and it's so much, it's so rich. You know, I mean, it's, I mean, I love to get a other chef's book, or and it's just I find myself so interested and so excited when I'm reading some other things. I mean, I haven't read the new book of Magnus, but I have his old one, and I was fascinated. I learned so much, and it was great.
We're talking with acclaimed San Francisco Michelin star chef Dominique Krenn about her new book, Atelier Krenn, Metamorphosis of Taste. If you have a question for her, give us a call at 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. You can also email your questions or comments to forum@kqed.org. Post them on Facebook or on our website, kqed.org/forum. You dedicated your book to your father. What role did your father play in your development as a chef? He was a politician, right? He represented Brittany.
I don't think the development as a chef, but my dad was very instrumental to my life. He's, I mean, my mom too. My mom is still with us, which is great. I love her very much. And my dad passed away in 1999. And my dad was this incredible man that was very very open to the world. He was a politician, but he was also an artist. But I think it was more about his way of being a politician. He was not just a politician to be a politician. He really wanted to change the way that people think about the world and help each other also. And I used to, you know, he used to teach me about, you know, the world is one world. It's not just one. It's not just France. You have to understand that there is other culture around, and that other people have a different way of looking at things. And he was very much into art too. So he really gave me a sense of humility and understanding other. And I think that's what is his legacy at Atelier Krenn. Because Atelier Krenn, yes, it's a restaurant, but it's so much more than that. It's bringing people together and caring about each other, and also creating things that also might be able to change the way that people are thinking. So,
you have opened a new restaurant just this past year, Petit Krenn?
Yes.
And that one has been described as more of an homage to your mother.
For my mother and to my mother and my grandmother, it's an homage to all the women in the world in general. You know, we have to remember, you know, when we are born, it's like who's feed you first. You know, that's the woman. So, and it's also I think it's a place also to very nurturing, and so I wanted to recreate a place where people feel at home and away from home, and they can come anytime. And it's like you're coming to my house and it's like a party, but like people are taking care of you, and you can feel safe there. So it was very important. And that's what my grandmother and my mother, you know, did when they were cooking for people. So,
and it has a structure where the cook serves the meals and there's no tips. Is that right?
The cook serves the meals. The sommelier serves the wine, and there is no waiter. No, it's just, you know, it's a house. So at the house, you know, the host cook and the host serve. So, and then I think he just gave my cook so much more pride also, and they're loving it. I think that's kind of cool. I love it. I mean, every time I'm done with Atelier Krenn, this is where I go. My go place at night, have a glass of rosé, some oyster, and just then I go home, and I'm like, I'm just very happy. It's nice to be able to create spaces where people that work with you are happy to come to work. So
it's on Hay Street in San Francisco,
yeah.
And the San Francisco Chronicle gave it a glowing review.
That was very nice.
Do you still believe critics should be anonymous, food critics should be anonymous when they come to your restaurant?
I don't really think about it, but yeah, I think, you know, we treat them like we treat others, you know. I mean, obviously, we often know who they are. But, you know, yes, I mean, a critic is a critic, you know, so it should be, you know, I think it's stressful when someone, I mean, it doesn't affect me, but I think there's a lot of people that, you know, start their own restaurant and they know who the critic is, and it could be, you know, intimidating. So it's just, And I think when someone is intimidated, especially when they open a restaurant, you know, they can a little bit mess up sometimes. So it's, I don't know, I think so. But I think now we live in a world where, you know, if you do a good job, doesn't matter if it's there is a critic or not a critic, you just have to continue to do the things you do. So,
Dominique Crenn, chef at Atelier Crenn, and she has a new cookbook, Atelier Crenn, Metamorphosis of Taste. So one of the things that I read is that you are always have it find it hard to answer the question of what it's like to be a female chef, and that you get asked that question a lot, right? I mean, you have the recognition of being the first female, you know, Michelin star chef, two Michelin star chef in the U.S. Why is that question so hard to try to address for you?
Well, I mean, obviously, unfortunately, you know, there has been this war, you know, and this argument about it's a man world, and it is, you know, I mean, who created the brigade was Escoffier, and because in the idea of having a brigade in a kitchen, you know, like a military way of doing things, I'm a human, and yes, I'm a woman, but I also, you know, I'm a cook, you know, I'm not a female cook, I'm a cook. And I think it's very important for people to understand that and to look at what we do at Atelier Crenn, not just, oh, she's a woman chef, and but let's see what she can do. No, I just want them to come and eat the food and say, oh, this is a really good food, and then she's, you know, she's a woman. So, but for me, you know, I mean, it's definitely a platform to inspire youngster and young woman for sure. But I don't want to get to this war about, you know, we need male and we need female. We need to come together as one. And I will be the voice, but I don't want people to just separate, to make a separation.
Yeah. How do you feel like the landscape or the experience of female chefs is changing?
I believe so, but you know, if you look at the United States in general, there is so many talented chefs that are female. And maybe the media maybe need to be paying more attention to them, and because they've been here not since yesterday, but from a long time. So it's changing definitely, and it's nice, you know. I mean, it's always nice to have a conversation to make sure that we're all on the same page, and sometimes we lose, you know, sight of what's important, but it matters, you know. And it's everything like that, you know. If you look at, you know, politics also, there is more maybe male than female, but we are all one world. And we all need each other, and we have our pros and cons, and we have weakness and we have strength. And I think if we come together, then I think we'll be a better world, you know. But obviously, you know, I think we are smarter too. So,
well, a listener writes, on the Atelier Crenn online menu, there appears a wonderful souvenir. I don't speak French, so this is going to be quite a challenge for me. A wonderful souvenir d'enfance about Brittany, including its coast. Can your guest describe that experience and also one of the most delicious traditional dishes anywhere, soupe de poisson? Does she ever make this dish with her twist? And if not, where can I find a good fish soup in San Francisco?
Oh, so she's talking about the coriade, which is a Brittany fish soup. I mean, Brittany is such a lovely place. It's located in the west part of France. It's about six hours from Paris. Brittany, it's a Celtic area. Brittany used to be his own country, I think, up to the 14th century. We used to have a queen named Queen Anne de Bretagne. And obviously, she got married with a French king, so that's how Brittany became, you know, a part of France. It's very much rooted in a lot of tradition that is not per se French, very Celtic, very, very rustic, very, I would say, very religious also. I mean, they have the best seafood in the world. And they, it's a 99% agriculture, best vegetable. It's also a country that, it's also, a, I mean, I say a country. The first language that my parents spoke was not French, was Breton. So call it a country. You know, a lot of seafood, lobster, turbo, a lot of oyster. So I do have a dish in the book that I kind of do a take on the lobster bisque, but it's just very much about the ingredient and how fresh and delicious the ingredient is. So if she want, you know, to come to my house, let's make a fish sauce, you know, I mean fish soup, you know.
With wow.
Maybe a little bit of fish sauce too. I don't know.
And you live in San Francisco as
well.
I do live
in San Francisco.
And Atelier Crenn is more toward the marina, the park area.
That area, yes.
And Petite Crenn is, as I mentioned, on Hayes. Catherine writes, I had the pleasure of dining at your restaurant a year ago, and I still dream about it. It was the best dining experience I've ever had. My question for you is why you decided to describe each course through a poem rather than a traditional menu.
Well, thank you, Catherine. For dining with us. So very young, you know, I've never liked to read a menu and to understand, to read the ingredient. It's never been, you know, something that I liked. So I've been writing poetry since I was the age of 4, and I feel that poetry was a way of expressing myself. And so it was very natural for me to, when we create dishes, to express those dishes through sensation and emotion and to something that we feel. So it was a way of doing it. And I thought that was, you know, my way of writing menu, which I didn't think I had to follow the traditional way. So that's it's nice to, you know, when people come to Atelier Crenn, you know, they can follow the menu with the dishes, but they also can just, like, I give them the poem. They have, you know, just have a great time, and then you can bring the poem home and maybe you can read it. And maybe it might speak to you in a way that, you know, it might be different for me, but I want them to feel that there is a connection with, you know, I think food is very poetic, nature is very poetic. So it's kind of a continuation of celebrating what's on the plate and what we're cooking for them.
David writes, 7 years ago, I went to culinary school to become a chef. I was interning in a fancy Italian restaurant making the pastas when I became disenchanted with the expressionless and monotonous experience of being a line cook. I have since strayed far from the kitchen, pursuing a PhD in chemistry, but have continued cooking for family and friends who continue to tell me to open a bakery or restaurant. How do you decide if you're cut out to be a chef?
Oh, I think it has to be, it's your own experience. Working in the kitchen is not fun, not all the time. I mean, I'm having a lot of fun right now. I mean, for a long time, but it's very hard. There's a lot of dedication involved. It could be kind of repetitive, you know, and if you don't really know that or understand that perhaps some of a part of your life might be cut out for a little bit and your private life or social life might be also cut out, then it's going to be hard, you know. I think you just have to really understand what it takes to be in the kitchen, and then from that you just have, it's all about choices, you know. For us, you know, being in the kitchen is like every day we want to have fun. Every day we want to do things that inspire us, but we want to inspire people. So I think it's a luxury for us to do that too, because I created a space where there's a lot of freedom, and everyone in my team is a part of the creative process. Not every restaurant do that, you know, and I understand that. But I mean, hey, if your friends want you to open a bakery, just go for it. It's like, obviously you have a lot of talent. Just follow what is good for you, you know. And it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work.
We had Magnus Nilsson on just a little bit ago, and he was talking about, you know, the importance of having that time to feed your creative side. And even though you do have freedom in your restaurant or in your kitchen, it is intense, as you said, and very monotonous. How do you nurture that creative side of you?
I think it's about surrounding yourself with a great people, conversation, also be very conscious about what's going on in the world. Also, I mean, I love art, so I just, you know, I like that side of it. Just you can go to Chrissy Field and do a nice walk with your dog, and just really looking around you and be inspired. And I think that's always thinking. And I often get also very inspired. You know, every night I go on the floor and I talk to my guests, and I always ask them a little bit about themselves, and they inspire me. I mean, there is a story that they tell me that has nothing to do with food, and they become also a part of my DNA. So it's always, you know, it's always an outgoing of way of thinking, and I don't know, every day is a create. I mean, I might go home, you know, in a few minutes, and I'm like, oh, I was talking to you, and then something might spark. I might create a dish out of a conversation that I have with you. So I don't know. It's just, you know.
Let me know if you do. But speaking of events going on in the world, how are you reacting to the events in Paris that continue to unfold?
Unfortunately, is you know, those events, it's a tragedy, and it's very close to I mean, it's a tragedy also for me and my friends and my family. When you look at those events, and it's not just France, it's like it happened in Beirut, it happened in a lot of places. This morning, you know, in Mali, they were taking hostage. So I think what's important that we have to not fear and not be scared about those people. We have to come together and continue to really preach freedom, and life is about kindness and being in peace, and not just I mean, violence doesn't take you, give it, you know, get you anywhere. My friends, you know, I want to think about my friend wife. I was killed on Rue de Charonne, and
I'm so sorry.
That's really, really terrible. But it just, it's hard when you just kind of know someone, and it just, we just need to not, you know, to I don't want people to be scared and go back to a place of like hide, you know, to hide. I think we need to be more conscious. We need to be more aware, and we need to also care about the other that perhaps we don't know. And then if we see something that is not right, maybe pay attention. Let's pay attention and just live life with, you know, love and care. And that's what I think we need to do, you know.
And you'll be in France next month?
Yes.
That was planned prior to?
Yes.
And so what will you be doing there?
Well, my mom is might go through some type of surgery, so I need to be there but I also want to, and I'm going to be in France also in February and in March next year, where I'm doing the Omnivore food festival over there. I'm going to be cooking with David Toutain. So, and I think it's important I wanted to be on the fly. I mean, yesterday, you know, I think it's important for me to go back. It's my country. It's my people, but and to support them and to be there. It's a terrible event that happened, but let's keep going and be happy, and I want everyone that, you know, especially in France, you know, and all over the world, just go out, eat, celebrate, you know, your friends and your family, and drink a lot of wines and a lot of good rosé also.
Do you observe Thanksgiving, and if so,
what is Thanksgiving?
I'm curious if there's something that's always on your Thanksgiving table.
You know, it was quite interesting, because when I came here, I didn't really understood Thanksgiving. I was just, you guys cooking turkey, and we usually cook turkey at Christmas time in France. And then I realized that it's also, you know, bringing people together. So, I mean, I often, you know, if I cook with friends, I might bring some other item than just a turkey. I've cooked also for friends that in the same, somewhere vegetarian, so I did a lot of vegetarian dishes for them, or somewhere pescatarian, which was, we were cooking old fish, and you know, it's not just about the turkey. I think it's about cooking, you know, with friends and family and bringing people together. And maybe this Thanksgiving is going to be a much more richer Thanksgiving than before. And I want people to think about not just themselves and their family, but to think about the world and to understand that there is a beautiful world out there, and just celebrate everyone at their table. So
then what's next for you? I mean, you've done a lot. You opened a restaurant this year. You published a book. But I read that there might be some focus on baby food coming up.
I'm going to Disney World. No, I'm kidding. yes, I think I want definitely to do another book. I want also do a book for not just children, but it would be I love children book. And I love cartoon. It's my favorite book is Le Petit Prince, The Little Prince. Mm. And I love children. So, and I feel that I say that food is the core of the society, and to be able to maybe create great baby food and to also introduce them to perhaps what will tailor them to and understand what, you know, they might not understand it when they put food in their mouth, but if the food is thoughtful and cooked properly and using the right ingredient and also understanding where the food comes from, that will help in the future perhaps to have those kids become adult and understand and make a better decision. And I think when you expose people to good things, especially kids at the beginning, and also parents, I think we're going to make this world a better world. You know, there is a lot of things going on in this world. There is the climate change. There is a lot of things that we need to understand. And if we can start with our children through food, I think that could make a difference.
Wow. As the mother of a 7-month-old, you're really making me think about what I'm feeding my baby. Rachel writes, "Dining at Atelier Crène is an exceptional experience. First, the food. I thought it unusual that the menu was presented as a poem, but by the end of dinner, I realized there was no other suitable way to describe what would be brought to the table. Second, the chef. Dominique comes to your table to say hello. She's genuine, friendly, and quite clearly on a whole other level. Third, the service. Polished. It's like an orchestra, how all the staff worked together." Well, Dominique, congratulations on this new book. I really appreciate you coming in to talk to us about it. And it really is quite an incredible artistic book and just a great addition to people's understanding of food in the world. Forum is produced by Irene Noguchi, Tina Lauerberg, Judy Campbell, and our engineer is Danny Bringer. Our engagement editor is Amanda Stupai, and we get online support from Natalie Yemenijan. Our interns are Latoya Tools and Jeremy Siegel. Our senior editor is Dan Zoll. I'm Mina Kim. Thanks for listening.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.